about. We're going to start something new this morning for a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about some of the ways that God wants us to live and some of the things that God wants us to do as we continue in our walk as Christians. And what I want to talk today about is wisdom. And look, we all need wisdom. You can look around and see that the world needs wisdom, our country needs wisdom, our family needs wisdom. We personally need wisdom. So first of all, what is wisdom? It's not just knowledge. It's not just book smart. It's not just common sense, which may not be very common anymore, but it's certainly not just common sense. It's basically putting knowledge to use. It is the ability to discern what is true, what is right, and what is lasting. That is the biblical definition of wisdom, the ability to discern, to tell what is true, what is right, and what is lasting. Let me ask you this. Does anybody here have trouble figuring out what's true today? Well, I saw it on the internet. Does that solve it? Okay, how about this one? I saw it on TV. No? How about if Walter Cronkite was still around, for those of you my age? Would that make it right? Probably still not. We need the ability to take the knowledge that we have and put it to the correct application. And I'll give you a couple of silly examples before we move into something that's scriptural. If I'm walking down that tile out there and I see a banana peel, that's knowledge, right? There's a banana peel in the floor. Wisdom is me walking around the banana peel. If I'm driving and I see a red light, I have the knowledge that's a red light. What's wisdom? Wisdom is stop, all right? Wisdom is taking what we know and using it. So knowing the Ten Commandments is basically memorizing the Ten Commandments. Wisdom is obeying them. Knowledge is knowing about God. It's being able to cite verse, being able to cite all the facts that we know about Jesus. Wisdom is getting to know God Himself, taking that knowledge and putting it to use so that we can make the true, we can make the right decisions, we can make the lasting decisions, those decisions that are based on eternity. And the Bible tells us over and over again that we should seek after wisdom. All right? From Proverbs chapter 4, written by Solomon, the wisest man other than Jesus Christ who ever lived, Solomon writes this, "Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her," that being wisdom, "and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you." Wisdom is the principal thing. Remember when God made Solomon king, He said, "Solomon, what do you want? Name what you want." And Solomon said, "I want wisdom so that I can govern your people in accordance with the way you want me to govern them." And God rewarded that prayer for wisdom by giving Solomon not only wisdom, but all of the other things that most kings back then wanted: power, glory, money, fame, horses, chariots, all those things. But Solomon asked first for wisdom. He knew that it was the principal thing. And he also knew that there was, even back then, a worldly wisdom. Today, there is a worldly wisdom. It's a wisdom that the TV creates. It's a wisdom that the internet creates, Facebook creates, Oprah creates, Dr. Phil. You name it, the world wants to create its wisdom. And in most things, that wisdom is not godly wisdom. We have to recognize that there is a difference between worldly wisdom, things that make sense, things that we'll say you get street smart. You know how to function. You know how to play the game. You know how to be in this race that we call the human race. But then we need to step back and realize that sometimes that kind of wisdom is not what God wants us to have. He wants us to have a godly wisdom. So I want you to understand that true wisdom is from God. You'll see that today. And true wisdom honors God. It does not honor self. It does not honor this world. It does not build up the world. It does not puff up oneself. It honors God. You know, Paul founded a church in Corinth, and they started off pretty well, and they got off track real quick. And they thought they were wise. I've told you before that a lot of Paul's letter to the Corinthians is sarcasm. It does show that sarcasm can be biblical, and Paul uses it extremely well. And he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them, you guys think you are so wise in your own mind. You've missed true wisdom. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is what he says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound those that call themselves wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. He's going to use things that are base, that are so basic that people laugh at them and they think that can't be wise. Example. Why are we here? How many books are written on that? One verse answers that question. We are created for God's glory. End of story. How did the earth get here? Four words. In the beginning, God created. Right? Easy answers, and people laugh at those, but that is godly wisdom. That is using what he said. And here's what Paul said. He says, look, he does all this so that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he be glorified. Let all glory be to the Lord. And then Paul says, look, I didn't come to you in excellent speech. All I came to you was declaring the cross of Christ, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not of enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So what I want to challenge you today, church, is stop putting your faith in the wisdom of man. You say, well, I don't do that. Watch for a week. Watch what you do and see if you're doing it. You know, tomorrow, we talked about this in high school class, there is a solar eclipse. Anybody heard about that? Everybody heard about that? Okay. Anybody heard the theories that it's going to be the end of the world? Okay, they're out there, particularly after we had a 4.8 Richter scale earthquake in New York on Friday, and the eclipse is going to be on 4/8/24. So they're putting all these things together. The Bible tells us exactly how the world will end and what has to happen before. Do we need to worry about the world ending on Monday at 12:45 whenever this eclipse happens? No. Okay? Should you be prepping and loading your basements full of food and water this afternoon? No. Okay? Worldly wisdom is, and the Bible says be prepared. We're going to talk about some of that. Worldly wisdom is, look at all these things that are going on. Look at your circumstances. Look at all the problems that exist. Look at all the great powers that are moving on this earth. Look around, right? What does godly wisdom say? Look up. Look one place. Look to God for wisdom. Look to God for strength. So I want to talk to you about the seven pillars of wisdom. So stand, if you will, turn to Proverbs chapter 9. We're going to read a little bit in verse 9, and we'll jump back to verse 8. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Stand if you can. And this is Solomon writing this too. Again, the wisest man other than Jesus Christ ever to live, God-given wisdom. He says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. So people say, well, what are those seven pillars? Jump back over to chapter 8, verse 12. And Solomon here is talking about wisdom. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound judgment. I am understanding. I have strength. You can be seated. So these are the seven pillars of wisdom. These are the things that the Bible tells us that wisdom is going to be based on. These are all going to come together like the building blocks of a house, and they are going to create godly wisdom if you are willing to follow these spiritual disciplines. So you have a choice at any point in time when you have a decision to make, when you're looking for something. You can react emotionally, you can react off the cuff, or you can exercise wisdom. Anybody in here ever gotten in trouble for a knee-jerk reaction that was not wise? Okay, y'all are lying, folks. Okay, now that more hands start going up, all right? Yes. We all get in trouble for that. Most of us do, except for that corner in the back there. They're good. Most of us get in trouble for doing those kind of things, and we regret those unwise decisions. But the Bible tells us that God wants us to go through a process, go through a thought process. Even with Him, He says, come, let us reason together. He doesn't want us to blindly follow Him. He wants us to follow Him completely and blindly, but not blindly follow Him. A big difference. He wants us to think through it. Jesus said, I want you to count the cost. Tabulate the pluses and minuses of following Me, and then I want you to make the decision to follow Me. That is the wise decision. So what I want to do this morning is go through each of those seven pillars and really talk about what they are. Some of them we don't recognize anymore. So number one we're going to look at is prudence. Prudence. You know, that's an old-fashioned word. It used to be a lady's name. Anybody know anyone that was named Prudence? No? That died out early 1900s, I think. But what is prudence? Prudence is caution. It is taking everything into account in practical matters. It's exercising caution. And Solomon writes in chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I, wisdom, dwell. I live with prudence. I live with this kind of wise caution. Is it being paranoid? No, it is not being paranoid. It is exercising a godly type of caution. Jesus told us that we needed to listen to people. We needed to evaluate what they're saying to see if they are sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing, right? John told us at the very end, he said, you know, in the last days, people are going to come that are going to tell you lies. You should test every spirit. You should be careful and have caution about every person that you let come into your ears and into your brain. Are they telling you the truth? Are they telling you God's word, or are they telling you something that is their opinion? And both Jesus and John and Peter and Paul, they all say this. Be careful what you let into your eyes. Be careful what you let into your mind, because that will change the way that you see things. That will change the way you act and the way you live. So prudence, one of the things that prudence does is plan. You know, Solomon wrote a great proverb about the ant, and he was comparing people to ants. And, you know, people were a little bit lazy. And this is what he said in Proverbs 6. Go to the ants, you lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. She has no guide, overseer, or ruler, yet she provides meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. The ant prepares. Should we prepare for the future? Yes. Jesus says, don't worry about the future. Don't become anxious for the future. But yes, we are supposed to prepare. Prudence is not overreacting. Prudence is taking all of the information in. It's taking everything and looking at it through God's viewpoint. You know, we know that the next event on God's timetable prophetically is called the rapture. And we know that after the rapture, when the church is taken away, there will be a period of 7 years called the tribulation that will literally be hell on earth. Do we as the church need to fear that tribulation? No, because we won't be here. But should we let that tribulation, the fact that there will be people that we know perhaps, people that we love perhaps, going through that tribulation, should we let that motivate us to do things? Yes. That should motivate us to get out and share the gospel, to try and do all we can to make sure that nobody we know is going to go through that tribulation period. Caution is watching what you believe. Caution is letting, being careful what you let into your mind, what you let into your life. You know, good bad company corrupts good morals is in the Bible. Right? It is a biblical saying. Be careful who you hang around with. Be prudent. Be reasonable in what you do. And that's one. That's the first pillar. The second pillar is knowledge and discretion. In verse 12, Solomon writes, "And find out knowledge and discretion." I mean, you guys know what knowledge is. Knowledge is facts that you learn, facts that will change the way that you act if you let them. We all know, you know, stop at a red light, stop at a stop sign, speed up at the yellow light, right? We all know this. What do? Anybody ever run a stop sign? Accidentally, of course. Couple, three, all right. You know, we do things like that. It's not a wise thing to do. It wasn't intentional maybe, but it's not a wise thing to do. So we need to use knowledge. We need to take the knowledge. So when somebody is giving you knowledge, you know, some people just do this. No. They plug their ears. They don't want to hear the knowledge because it's too hard to learn. It's too complicated or whatever the excuse may be. Don't do that. God is the source of all true knowledge too. And then discretion, this part is what Solomon is saying here. He says, I want you to take that knowledge that you've got and I want you to use it to make a free decision. That's what discretion is the ability to make a decision unhampered by something else that's exerting pressure on you. You know, you have the ability to make, at least in this country right now, the decision to voluntarily come to church to worship on Sunday. Do you know that there are countries where you cannot do that? They don't have discretion to worship in church. There are countries, including Canada, where you cannot stand on a corner and preach the Bible. Actually, there are states in the United States where you cannot stand on the corner and pray. If you're across from an abortion clinic in Virginia, better not do that. You're not saying a word. Discretion is going to end, folks. Discretion is going to be curtailed. But right now, we have that freedom. We have the ability to take the knowledge that we have, to exercise the prudence that we see. We have the ability to do all of that and make a discreet decision, make a free decision to do what God tells us to do. So if we will start building this base of wisdom, you know, you can look at each one of these things separately, but prudence, caution, carefulness. Is that wise? Well, we know it is. We know practically speaking it is. Is it wise to base a decision on knowledge? Yeah. Is it wise to base a decision on fact? Well, sure. Is it wise to be discreet? Well, sure it is, because you want to have freedom to use those things that you've learned and that God is putting into your life in the way that He wants you to do. But that's not all that Solomon tells us that creates the foundation of wisdom. Number three, he says, the fear of the Lord. And almost every Bible writer talks about fearing the Lord. And what they talk about is not trembling, like scared of Him. What this word means is reverential awe. You are in awe of what God is, who God is. You know, we sang, "How great is our God." Do you realize God created the universe? God created the stuff that formed the pew that you're sitting on right now. God created your brain. God created your eyes. You want to talk about a miracle that evolution still cannot explain? Your eyes. It's amazing how awesome He is. How awesome He is, and we sometimes take it for granted. And you know what? The fear of the Lord, many Bible writers will say, is the beginning of wisdom. It's that cornerstone of what wisdom is. Job, I mean, we're going to get into our Job study in May. I know I've put it off a little bit, but Job is the oldest book in the Bible, and here's what Job said. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job, the fear, the reverential awe of God is wisdom itself. David said in Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Solomon's got it all over. Solomon said in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. He also wrote, wisdom's instruction is the fear of the Lord. So we know that it is not a wise thing to laugh in the face of God. We know it is not a wise thing to take God for granted. It's not a wise thing to ignore who He is. But the Bible tells us that in these last days, there will be people who will actually scoff at God and mock God to His face. Anybody seen that in the past week? Oh, yes. We're going to talk about those people next week. But the point is, we need to understand that as Christians, we need to be in awe of God, and we need to be able to share that awe with people. You know, you can tell them everything that God has done for you, every little thing that God has done. And you know what? If they think you're silly and they want to scoff, they want to make fun of you, let them, because you are honoring God. And God's Word says that your awe of God is the beginning of wisdom for you, is the beginning of knowledge for you. So we're building our blocks. We've got prudence. We've got knowledge. We've got discretion. We've got this fear of the Lord. And the fourth one is godly counsel. Godly counsel. Notice that modifier there. Not any counsel, but godly counsel. The very first psalm says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. So a wise person is going to be grounded in the counsel of God that he or she is going to get from the Word of God, from meditating on the Bible day and night. You can do this while you're driving down the road, sitting on the interstate, stuck in traffic, sitting in the hair salon, standing in the shower, wherever it is that you can think, which is anywhere. God says, meditate on my Word. And remember, we're not walking and listening to the counsel of the ungodly. We're not getting it from our horoscopes. We're not getting counsel from Dear Abby, if she's still around. We're not getting counsel from all of those sources that people used to think, oh, hey, this is a great place. We're not getting it from CNN. We're getting it from God's Word. So you want to know what's really, really, really going on in the world? You need to start asking God, God, show me what's really, really, really going on in the world. He'll start putting those pieces together for you. It's going to take work. It's going to take work on your part, because you got to meditate on it day and night. And you got to be willing, as part of this, to receive instruction. You got to be willing to be corrected. How many of you, don't raise your hand on this one, but if you get corrected by somebody, your first thought is, well, anybody relate? Don't raise your hand. Just smile. Only I will know. Yeah, okay. So we're all like that. Even when we know that we should listen to that correction. Proverbs 15, again, Solomon says, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. If you knew somebody was totally wise and that they were going to give you godly counsel and wise counsel, why in the world would you ignore them? Why would you avoid them? The only reason is because you know what they're going to say. at a deep level, we know what godly wisdom is. We know what godly instruction is going to be, and sometimes we don't want to hear it. So rather than have to subject ourselves to listening to it, we skip church that day when the topic's printed next week, or we don't go to Sam's house or Sarah's house because we know we're going to hear something about the truth of God. And we don't want to. We need to not resent that correction. We need to be willing to listen to God and meditate on what He says day and night. Look at verse 13 in chapter 8 again of Proverbs. He says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine." All right? God, wisdom is saying, I'm going to give you counsel. That counsel is going to be against pride and arrogance, the evil way and the perverse mouth. Job told us again in Job 12, he says, "To God belong wisdom and power, counsel and understanding are His." So the first step to godly wisdom is going to be getting His Word, listening to what His Word says. When you seek out counsel from other people, make sure that you're talking to someone who's a Christian. Now, can they be wrong? Yes. But if they are Christian, they will be coming at their approach, at their advice, through a godly perspective, which is very different than the world's perspective. Now, God's counsel is never going to be wrong. So you really need to start with the Bible. And if your godly counsel friends tell you something that's inconsistent with the Bible, you don't need to listen to them. The Bible will answer your questions. So we need to start with God's counsel. Then number five, we need to exercise sound judgment. So we get all of this information in. We get all of these things, and wisdom can either sit there and say, "Well, okay, I'm gonna take it and I'm gonna work with it. I'm gonna use it," or an unwise person will say, "I don't care. I want to do this anyway." So sound judgment is the ability or the capacity to assess the situation and draw an accurate conclusion. So when you're looking at all these things that are happening in the world, that are happening in your life, God, show me what's going on. Show me what the wise answer is here. Show me wisdom. When God shows you that wisdom, you have an obligation to make a sound judgment and follow God's Word. Don't simply ignore what He says. Solomon's got lots of proverbs about this. Take some notes. Proverbs 15:2. He says, "The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly." Or Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil." So just think about that. The heart of the wise weighs its answers. You think about what you're getting ready to say. Proverbs 18, Solomon writes, "To answer before listening, that is foolishness and shame." Proverbs says, what Paul says, when you start to answer something, when you start to think about something, you need to put your mind to it. You need to think about what you're going to say. You need to think about what's going on. And before you speak, make sure you've thought it out. Before you make your judgment, before you make your decision on what's going on, make sure you've weighed it all. God gets massive weight over here. What does the world say? I'm not going to give that any weight whatsoever, but I want to know what the world says for one reason, because I usually can say, well, I know that's not the world, so the opposite is God. But you want to weigh it all. You want to build these blocks, and you want to start building that pillar of wisdom. Number six is this. Number six is understanding. So you've got knowledge. We've talked about what knowledge is. You sort of have to understand what the knowledge is. I can show you a quadratic formula in math. Some people wouldn't understand it. You need to understand it. You know, we did a revelation study in this church probably 2 or 3 years ago. And you know, y'all started out, several of you, I don't know that I can understand Revelation. We went through every verse. You understood Revelation. It takes time. It takes work. And understanding is important. Without knowledge and without understanding, you cannot put wisdom to use. What does God say about this? Why does God say this? What is God telling me in this verse? In Proverbs 2, Solomon was writing to his son, and this is what he said, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand." If I gave you a printouted piece of paper and I told you that when you came to understand what was on this paper, it would be worth $1 million to you, I bet you several of you would be trying to understand what I have written on that paper. If you're reading my handwriting, you probably never will. But if I gave it to you, you would try. That's the same kind of incentive that God wants us to use when we try to understand His Word. We need to seek it as we do precious metals, as gold and silver. We need to get deep into it and understand what He is saying. God will give us that understanding if we do it. Solomon wrote again in Proverbs 18, he said, "Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions." Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. They don't care what the facts are. They don't care what the truth is. They got to get their opinion out there. That is not the way that a child of God should react. It's not the way a child of God should act. And it is certainly not a basis for wisdom. Opinions are not facts. Now, they can be supported by facts, but you've got opinions and you've got facts. We need to base everything that we do on a fact, on the truth of God's Word. Because Jesus said, "God's Word is true." That's not me saying it, it's Jesus Christ saying it. So everything that was written in Scripture up until that time, Jesus is talking about. Every word in the Old Testament is true. You know, and we've been through this before too. You can find Jesus in Genesis all through the end of the Old Testament. You find everything that's going to happen in the book of Revelation, it's already in the Old Testament. You find everything that was going to happen to Jesus Christ in His life in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is true. Paul, Peter both write that Scripture is true. The Scripture they had, some of the New Testament. All Scripture is given by inspiration for our edification, for our discipline, for our growth. So we need to be willing to understand. We need to be willing to fight to understand and try to understand what God says. What if it's hard? Yes, keep trying. Because the last pillar of wisdom is this, it's power. How many of you ever heard the saying, knowledge is power? Okay, that's about half right. Wisdom is power. Because if I have all the book sense in the world and I don't know how to do it, that's not any power. I understand conceptually how a plane flies. I don't understand how a plane flies, though. I can give you Bernoulli effect. I can give you all of this, the aerodynamics. I can give you the math. But I don't understand how that plane flies with all those people on it and all that luggage on it. I don't get it. I don't know how it lifts off the ground. Wisdom is strength. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, "Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city." Wisdom gives us power. Now, God gives us the wisdom, so God ends up giving us the power, right? We know that God strengthens His people. And God invites us to ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says this. James 1:5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him." So when you need wisdom in a situation, Look at these seven factors. Look at what God is telling you. And then you turn back to God and say, God, I need wisdom here. Your word tells me that I should seek counsel from you and that you're going to give it to me liberally. So show me what the wise thing to do is. And He will do that. He may do it through His word. He may do it through some interaction you have with some other believer. He may do it through a song you hear. But God will speak to you and help you to understand what the wise solution is, what the wise course of action is. As Paul was getting older, he wrote this prayer, he wrote a letter to the Ephesians, and this is what he said. He said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That is the goal of wisdom. The goal of wisdom is to know God better. The goal of wisdom is to glorify God, and the more we know Him, the more we will glorify Him. So that is my prayer for you today. You'll look at your lives, you'll look at your decisions, and you'll say, am I being wise? Is this course of action I'm on wise? Is it prudent? Am I being careful in it? Is it based on knowledge and discretion? Do I have freedom or am I being forced into making this decision? Does it honor God? Does it revere God? Have I sought godly counsel about this issue? Is it exercising sound judgment? Do I understand all of the ramifications? Do I understand everything that God wants me to understand about that? And finally, am I using God's power to make my decision? Am I using the power that God promised to give to me to make that decision? And if the answer to all those questions is yes, then go for it. The most wise decision, or the wisest decision you can ever make, is to put your faith in Jesus Christ. So here are the facts. Here's the knowledge base. Christ died for our sins and was buried according to Scripture. He arose again and was seen according to Scripture. There's your facts. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to take John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life? Will you take that knowledge? You've heard it. Will you take it and will you apply it in your life? Will you be wise enough to say, I'm going to make the true, the right, and the just decision to follow Jesus Christ and to put my faith in Him? That is the wisest decision you will ever make. For those of you that have made that decision, you know it was the right decision. You know it was the wise decision. Don't lose focus. You know, Solomon, as wise as he was, when he got older, he lost some focus, didn't he? And he started chasing after other women from other countries. God told him, don't do that. He started chasing after other gods. And he lost the benefit of God's wisdom because he stopped listening. Even the wisest man other than Jesus to ever live didn't follow his own advice. And we need to be careful that we don't lose the focus. So if you're a Christian today, make sure you always go back, go through these pillars. Am I making these decisions based on these bases? And remember, ask God and He freely gives it without reproach. He's not going to say, well, haven't I told you this 15 times? Didn't your parents tell you this? Didn't I tell you back when? He will not do that. He will say, you want wisdom? I promised I'd give it to you. Here it is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning and pray that you would enable each of us to make wise decisions, to build the pillars of wisdom in our lives, to follow them each and every day, to not get ahead of ourselves, to not get ahead of you, to not put our faith in circumstances and to not put our faith in what the world says is true. Father, we know that wisdom is different from you and the world. I pray that each person here will follow and have as a goal in their lives to follow godly wisdom, to seek out what you would have us to do, to seek out your will in their lives, Father, and then to do your will. Father, if you're working on anybody's heart today, I pray that they will respond. Pray that you will fill their lives with hope, wisdom, and understanding and knowledge, that they may come to know you better, to love you more, and to follow your word. Father, we thank you for Jesus, the wisest man who did ever live, who never went back on the way of wisdom, who showed us the true way of wisdom is to seek your will no matter what it cost, and to follow your will. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.